Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. We ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to see things and to know things we can't know on our own. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So last time we got together, we are in chapter 19. And I just want to get to the end here. I'm going to begin in verse 12, only to just gear up to where we're headed. I know I promoted this chapter 20 as a very powerful doctrinal chapter and a very exciting chapter to where you're going to learn a lot of things about heaven. And I'm going to tell you, get ready to open your Bibles or to take notes, to get the CD or the archives, because I'm going to take my time. I'm not going to be any hurry because of this. All right, verse 12. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. So we talked about that. Look at the majesty of who he is. He feels that way about you with passionate eyes of fire. The crowns just represent he's got it all. Next verse. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called what? The Word of God. Next verse. And the armies which were in heaven followed him with Benjamin Faircloth on white horses. Oh, you don't have that in your Bible? I made sure I put it in mine. No. They're in my notes, actually. Followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Man, remember, it talks about righteousness. Is it literal? I believe it's literal. We're not going to get into the whole debate, are there animals in heaven? I think there are animals in heaven, but we won't get into the totality of it, because that might cause a fist fight in the parking lot or what have you. But there are some horses, right? I don't know how Flo is going to do it, but she's going to do it. Giddy up, Flo. You're going to do it. I'm going to do it too. All right, next verse. We're going to be in our glorified bodies, right? And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. How many of y'all know the nations need a good whipping? And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. Who does this? Jesus does it. He is a judge. So get it out of your mind that you're going to be in the horses with an AK-47. You know, like Billy Jack. I'm going to take this right foot. I'm going to whop you on the left side of your face. And you know what? What? Ain't nothing you can do about it. Y'all remember that? Billy Jack. Got the whole collection. That's the only part I watch. I was just like, I just want to see him kick him. But we don't get to do that. That's only in movies, right? So Jesus, and the reason I'm emphasizing this is because we have to look at it in our own lives today. He is Lord of all. All vindication, all judgment belongs to him. He will take care of our justifying. Never be full of vengeance. Never be full of bitterness. Never be full of rage, because the end thereof will be your destruction. Let God handle it. And I'm not saying that's easy, but you have to. Next verse. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There it is. Next verse. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Remember the two dinners, two suppers? We're going to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? That's exactly right. So this is talking about Armageddon. There's too many scriptures to prove it. Next verse. That you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and the flesh of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free, bond, small, and great. I wouldn't want to be in this category here, guys. I'm not going to be in this category. You're not going to be in this category. We're going to be with the redeemed. All right, next verse. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat upon the horse and against Benjamin Faircloth and the army. Is that right? Put your name there. We're in that army. Next verse. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast. Not a vaccine. could come in a form, but it's not from CVS. And them that worshiped his image, got to have worship in there, got to have an image. Those both were cast alive, everybody say alive, into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. There's a whole message right there. Next verse. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls, how many? All the fowls were filled with their flesh. Is that it? Okay, so that was the battle of Armageddon. So we read that again for the purposes of just showing us that Jesus is in complete charge. He's got this thing covered. He's going to handle this. And if he's going to handle it then he's going to handle it now. If he's going to defeat the armies of the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon, can he defeat your water bill, light bill devil, whatever, the gas pump devil? You know, when you're up there and it keeps going, and the little one on the bottom is going, 1 gallon, 2 gallons. Isn't that amazing? I never understood how those guys, I just see somebody going, in some remote location. Anyways, that's just my thinking. All right, so chapter 20. Here's some words you need to understand. The millennial kingdom. We're going to talk about the millennial kingdom. It's a Latin word for 1,000 years. You want to write this down. The millennial kingdom. It's a Latin word for 1,000 years. Watch this. You need to write this down too. It's good. Again, I'm going to teach. I'm going to really go slow for a lot of reasons. This is the kingdom of God manifested. This is a totality of the kingdom of God manifested. What we're living in today is the framework. I'm in the type and the shadow. You are in the type and the shadow. We are, if you will, in the third dimension of things, not the fourth dimension and beyond where God is. He intersects with us, and we can intersect with him by the Spirit, but obviously we live on the earth. And unless you're glowing and floating around, we need to talk after service. That's pretty cool. But you're in this earth suit, but we do have dynamic experiences with God, don't we? We can feel him as he allows us to penetrate that realm of the Spirit and for the realm of the Spirit to penetrate our world. So it's an amazing thing. But this is the kingdom of God manifested. So we're living in the framework of the kingdom. It touches earth now. Heaven touches earth now. We know this because when Jesus ministered with his power, what did he say? The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. So what does that mean about the kingdom? That the kingdom is full of power. All power to subdue and overtake anything earthly. Sickness, disease, death, malady, malfunction, being maimed, being blind, being deaf, any critical situation, losing members of their body, anything. The power of the kingdom can ratify and correct it faster than you can think it. Because nothing can dwell in insufficiency in heaven. That's why we press in to pray, and you have people who doubt, say, well, I don't know, man, I'm going to wait to heaven to get... Blah, blah. You don't have to always do that. You can press in now and say, God, let your kingdom come, thy will be done. When? On earth, as it were, is in heaven. And see, Pentecostals, charismatics, they get ripped a lot because people are like, well, I don't believe all that, you know, and you're just over there chanting and blah, blah, blah. Well, when someone who had cancer doesn't have it no more, and they were blind, they now see, they were deaf, and they now hear, and people have been raised from the dead, how can you argue with evidence? Right. Somebody wave at me. It's true. And so Jesus, when he brought his power, he said it would come nigh. Luke 10:9, go there. Let's look at it together. Again, I'm not going to just shoot this and say, we're in heaven, and yeah, yeah, yeah. But why are we in heaven? What's happening in heaven? And heal the sick that are therein and say unto them, who? The sick. The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. So when we lay hands on the sick and they recover, with the kingdom of God has come nigh. Whoa, what if they don't get healed? Who deals in the what ifs? My job is not to heal anybody. My job is to lay hands on them. My job is to apply faith. Your job is to apply faith, right? How do you apply faith? Through praying, okay? So it is experienced part and parcel on the earth until when? The total comes. We know in part and we see in part. That's why you have to be careful. Listen to me, let me be a father tonight. That's why you have to be careful with a lot of these Casper, spooky, spiritualist warlocks and witches who say they're Christians, who have an experience with God every 30 seconds. Wait, I'm getting something from God. He said, loan me $20. No, it's not God. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And we have to be very, very, very careful of that, because we only know in part. Or they say, I already know everything about the future, what's going to happen. I can tell you right now what's going to happen. You just got to buy my book. What have you. And it's like, no, you don't know it all. We only know in part. We prophesy in part. We see in part. We look through a glass darkly. Is that what the Bible says? Absolutely. So be careful if everybody says they know what's going to happen in totality. No, you don't. You know God's allowed to throw a curveball.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And the book of Revelation has curveballs. All right, verse 1. So, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. All right? And I saw this angel having a key and a great chain. Revelation 1:8. I believe this is speaking of Jesus. Go to Revelation 1:8. I told you we're going to be all over the place. Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the what? The Almighty. Next verse. And he said, I'm your brother, companion in tribulation. And he's talking about Jesus Christ, the testimony thereof, which is what? The Word of God. Go back to verse 1. So I believe that this is actually a literal chain. It's not symbolic. So you can put that in your notes, that this is a literal chain. It is definitely not symbolic. Okay? And how do we know that? Because watch the next verse. And he laid hold on the dragon. So if he laid hold on the dragon, he's got to have a chain to hold him with, right? This terminology here, lay hold of, is basically, you ready for this? Grabs him with power, strength, restrains him, subdues him, and I wrote it down here, manhandles the dog. You ever been manhandled? Maybe mommy's grabbed the back of the fat on your arm and pinched it. That's mama handled. Mama handled can move you across the room with a little pinch. You know, talking about a pinch between the cheek and the gum? Uh-uh. Mama got right better than the fat of my muscle. Well, you thought you had muscle? You ain't got no muscle there. Mama grabbed hold of things and said, where you want to go? Anywhere you want to go, Ma. But this is more than that. He grabs hold of him. He laid hold of him. So we know it's Jesus. Because he's the one that executes what? Judgment. And we know he has the keys, right?
Yes.
So watch this. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan. Wow. Why do you think there's so many titles? To make no mistake of who it was. AKAs, aliases, faked identities. Jesus covered it all. Assumed names. All of these names, if you broke them down, represent so much trouble and so much torment throughout human history, all the way back to the garden. And God is saying through this, I want you to know as a people, I'm going to rid heaven and earth of this situation. Now, I have a plan. And you may not understand this plan as we move along, because it's going to get really oxymoronish, moronish, if you will. It's going to get kind of like, Lord, what are you doing here? But if you follow the wisdom of God, he has a plan. And it just works out. If you remember this too, in judgment, God is a righteous judge. If he establishes rules of conflict, rules of engagement, he will stand with them until the end. That's why, you know, we go, God, I want a special privilege in this hour, do something different, and just get us out of here. And it's like, no, I have to do it this way. Okay? All right? We don't like it, but that's the way it goes. And he bound him for how long? 1,000 years. So here is the kingdom of heaven being manifested. Satan, the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, he is thrown into that pit. He's thrown into the lake of fire, or to the abyss, actually. So let's go next verse. For 1,000 years, and cast him to the bottomless pit and shut him up. We can go home now. What a day that would be. Aren't you looking forward to the day when God just shuts the devil up? Yeah. I'm not talking about your neighbor. I'm talking about the devil, you know. The one who tells you that you're lousy and you're this and you're that. Who points out every flaw of your life, every freckle. Come on, every deficiency that God looks at you and says, you're beautiful, you're fearfully, wonderfully made. And he says, oh, no, that ain't true. You're trash. And the Lord's like, no, amazing grace, the blood covers you for all of your unrighteousness as long as you repent. See how wonderful that is? But he shuts him up. He shuts him up. What does he do next? He shuts him up, and he set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Wait a minute. Remember, in life, God seems like he's the mad scientist, and you're the experiment. You ever felt like that in life? You're like, Lord, what are you picking on me for? What did I do? Yeah, and you look at something like this, you're like, well, you just went through the trouble of throwing the false prophet, you know, the beast into the lake of fire alive. Now you take this old dog, this serpent, Satan, the devil, and then you cast him into this bottomless pit. You put a seal on it, and then you shut him up for 1,000 years. You ever read that and said, what's the deal? Come on, be honest. What's the deal? I have. I'm like, Lord, I don't get this. Go to Revelation 3:7. So let's look at this. It's just another piece of scripture to add to it. And to the angel in the church of Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that's holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. So we know the devil's not going to get out. So put that in your mind. Put that in your imagination. He's not going to sneak out. There's not going to be a demon jailbreak. There's going to be no angelic guards who are going to get paid off. There's going to be no scandals. 1,000 years. Go to Isaiah 24:22. So now let's unpack this and get the understanding of what God is thinking. Because again, to us, it's like, you know, we're like this. Execute them, or let's move on. I mean, don't call me for jury duty for, you know, capital murder, because I'll just, do you believe in a death penalty? Yep, sure do. Kill him. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. He's guilty. That Isaiah 24:22. That's how you get out of jury duty. I believe we should hang him. Hang him high. Come on, Clint Eastwood. All right, you ready? And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in prison, and after many days they shall be visited. So this is a prophecy about what's going to happen with Satan. Back in Isaiah, okay? And we're going to get into more details of why he is loosed. But just know that God had already prophesied this. So don't think when you read chapter 20 that all of a sudden God gets a warm spot in his heart for the devil. Man, I sure miss him tormenting everybody and causing wars, and we need him out again. Not going to happen. Verse 4. Now let's turn the page. We'll get back to that. And I saw thrones. Everybody say seats, really? It's really seats. Don't get a misconcept of these big, giant, high-back thrones, okay? I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of men, or them, that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. See the connection? Neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now you look at this and it's, okay, it gets a little muddy, excuse me, and confusing. Let's break it down. I saw the thrones. You want to write in your notes the seats of authority. That's really what it means, seats of authority. How do I know that? Judgment was given unto them. In other words, the ability to reign, rule, and govern. Think of seats of a council or council seats. You ever been to a council meeting? Yeah. It's intimidating, isn't it? I think so. They're all up there, a little higher than you, high back chairs, going back and forth. What's on the docket? You know, and they bring stuff up, and maybe it's your issue. And they have the power to judge. They have the power to give you a zoning permit or whatever, right? So picture that, okay? There's only one main throne. So don't get confused by the word thrones. There's only one throne. Here's the question. Who's on these thrones? Benjamin Faircloth. And everybody else that's born again, that has been raptured before the great battle of Armageddon, taken into heaven, coming back with him, and reigning and ruling with Christ. That's us. That is you and I. Threw you off with Benjamin Faircloth. Man, it's all about him. No, you got to put yourself in there. That's us. Because we're saints, we're believers. And there's too many scriptures to go back on to prove, and I will prove it actually in a minute, but it shows you the authority that God is going to give us. Again, this isn't with a billy jack and a taser, and we're just whipping up on people. I never did like you, and you were the worst neighbor ever. Took my chickens. No, it doesn't work that way. All right? But let me prove it first, and then I'll go back and dissect the rest of that. So get ready to write down some scriptures. We're going to go on a really long ride on scriptures. Is that all right? Revelation 1:6. And he has made who? Us. Kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Does that qualify you and I? Yes. Revelation 2, 26 through 27. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, To him I will give power where? Over the nations. Revelation 3:21. What's that? Oh, 27. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I was reading ahead of myself. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter, they shall be broken to shivers, even as I've received of my Father. So it speaks, he does that, right? We're just there judging with him. Okay, now, 3:21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to what? Sit with me in my throne. I'm not going to be sitting on Jesus' lap, and neither will you. Though his probably throne's pretty big. It just means we'll be in that council, right? That's right. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Is he sitting on top of his Father's lap? No. He's sitting in authority. Okay? 5:10. Revelation 5:10. And that's made unto us our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign where? On the earth. We reign and rule in our part and parcel of kingdom knowledge by faith now. But in that day, when the totality comes and the fullness of times and the fullness of the kingdom and the fullness of his power comes, then we're going to reign like this. Does that make sense? So what you're doing right now in your life is training for reigning. Listen, I might be very honest with you. If you're a sluggard and slothful as a Christian today, that's probably going to be somewhat your assignment when you get to heaven. I'm looking at everybody, and I'm looking up and down, I'm looking at me. Because if I have no passion on the earth now for the things of God, what grants me to have passion then? I don't get no special pass. See, he's teaching us now. We're preparing now for then. So I am training to reign. That's why it matters. It matters your Christianity. It matters your prayer life. It matters your tithing. It matters your giving. It matters your showing up at church. It matters being a part of all the things kingdom related. It matters the most, your personal relationship with God. Right. Not all the Christian calisthenics, the personal relationship. Out of that personal relationship, you want to do everything else. I want to serve God because I love him. I don't serve him because I'm afraid of him. I serve him because I love him. He loves me. And what he did for me, I can never pay back on this earth. Never. But I can, through faith and through love, show my adoration and say, Lord, I'm trying. I just want to plunder hell to populate heaven. That's all I want to do. All right, isn't that cool? Yes. And I can prove that to you in Scripture too. All right, 33. I got 33, Joshua. What's that? Yeah. Verse 33. I think so. Maybe I messed up on my numbers. What do you have? Yeah, do that, man. Let's see what you got. It's right there. Good job. See that? And they shall see his face. Well, I didn't see it. And his name shall be in what? The foreheads. Next verse. And there shall be no light, or no night there, and no need of candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth him light. Hey, that's a great scripture, but that doesn't fit what I was trying to give you. I'll have to go back and find what I wrote there. It's in Pig Latin, it's what it is. All right, Romans 8:17. I know that's a good one. Romans 8:17. And if children, that's me, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with who? Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. Suffering doesn't mean you die on the foreign field somewhere, get killed by ISIS. Suffering can be just carrying your cross daily. Suffering around family who don't believe. Suffering by witnessing. Suffering. We all go through suffering by being a Christian. I don't know about you, but there are some things in my beginning walk with God that I missed out on, that I had to let the world have back because I couldn't take it with me. But I promise you, God gave me 100-fold more than when I left. You see how that works? Is that a life of suffering? Yeah. Yeah, it is. That's part of suffering. Okay? All right, first, and that's one thing that these super slugs, these superstars, these musicians, these athletes, these actors, they don't understand about the suffering of Christ. And when they sit there and they tell us that they're Christians and they're living the same lifestyle and they're not giving up anything, I doubt your salvation. I didn't say you had to be poor and be a monk and live in Tocoa Mountains somewhere. But you have to show a life of sacrifice. Anyways, that's another message. See you Sunday. All right, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 through 4. Man, you're good, buddy. Do you not know that the saints shall do what? Judge the world. And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Paul's talking to the church of Corinthians who was suing everybody. They were taking everybody to the pagan law. And he's like, you can't even work this out between each other? But you're going to judge the world? You're going to judge angels? And you want to crucify your brother because he stole your shoes? Or whatever. Your sandals. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm not to do that with my brothers and my sisters. I'm to work the stuff out. You got a problem with me? Let's work it out. Don't be mad about it. Because first of all, God sees your anger. And two, it's a hindrance to you. And it could be a roadblock to your life. Don't let it be. Deal with it. That's why he said, look, if you got a problem with your brother, leave your gift at the altar and go fix it. The best you can. And then crack them over the head if you have to. No, don't do that. I'm just kidding. All right, look at this. Know you not that we shall judge what? Are you all reading what I'm reading? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church. 2 Timothy 2:12. Am I proving it yet? No, I'm just going to be at the front gate taking tickets. That's all. I'm just going to punch it. Maybe. I don't want to do that. I want to be judging. I want to be where God wants me to be. Don't you? Don't you want to go to heaven and have your reward? That would stink to be low life living now and get to heaven and you got a low life job. It'll be the best you could ever imagine, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not belittling it. I'm just saying, have passion towards the things of God. If we suffer, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Hebrews 12, 28. Excuse me. Hebrews 12, 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So, are we getting a kingdom? Yeah, we're receiving a kingdom. We're reading everything the book of Revelation just said. Don't believe me? Let me help you some more. Psalm 149, 6 through 9. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints, praise the Lord. Dual meaning of the scripture, definitely talking about Israel and their rights and what they're going to do with their enemies, but also represents us in the kingdom through the power of judgment and the power of the word. Daniel 7, 18. But the saints of the Most High, who's that? Me and you, shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom for how long? Forever and ever. Verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom over the whole earth shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This isn't talking exclusively about Israel. It's all the saints. It's you and I. Okay, so go back to Revelation. Did that help you some? Go back and study those scriptures. I don't have a fake Bible. I don't have a trick Bible. Check it out and see. Are you back there? Okay. So I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast. Now, you're talking about tribulation saints. You're talking about a different period of those who are on the earth. Okay? Now watch this. Because the beginning part was talking about the saints, which would be, if we're alive, what have you, or raptured before, we're in that number. Here, read what it says. And I saw the souls of them, and I saw, it's kind of like, and then I saw, right? It's an addition to what's being said. The souls of them were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads and on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ. How long?
1,000 years.
Now, the first resurrection and the second resurrection is 1,000-year span. The first resurrection and the second resurrection is 1,000-year span. We're part of that first resurrection. Let me prove all that to you. I'll do the best I can to get this in because there's so much that I just don't want to run so fast through. Okay. All right, next verse. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is what? The first resurrection. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So I gave you the first resurrection and the second resurrection. Next verse. Blessed and holy is he that is a part of what? The first resurrection. Such the second death has no power, but shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him. How long? 1,000 years. So we'll be reigning with him for 1,000 years. While we're reigning, those that have received the mark, they won't be resurrected until judgment. Next verse. Let's see if I can do this. He was speaking of the dead. Now he's speaking to the living. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Oh, come on. I don't get this. Why don't you just leave him in there? Right? I'm going to explain it to you why. Next verse. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. Now, wait a minute. I thought we dealt with Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38:39. This is not the same Gog and Magog. This is just speaking of a large quantity of people. It's speaking of rebellious people. It's just a tag. It's a terminology. It's like saying that old dog, that old serpent. He goes out and deceives the nations. You say, who are these in the nations? These are people who will live through the tribulation and the final wrath of God, who will have children during the time of the millennial reign, 1,000 years. Okay, you may not have heard that, but that's what that means. So they'll be here on this earth for that period of time. We're reigning, and I'm in my glorified body. I'm not picking up a shovel. Done did that. I'm not using a broom. None did that. There'll be people on earth who are cohabitating, who are habitating the earth, populating the earth during that time. Let's prove it to you. And he shall go to the sea of the nations, which are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. The number whom is as the sand of the sea. Now wait a minute. Why is God doing this? Let me slow down. Let me put this in first gear. Why is God doing this? Because God is a just God. God is not going to force salvation on anybody. Nobody gets a free ride to heaven except through faith, receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the only way you go to heaven. Not by your church affiliation, not by your good looks, we're in trouble, by the way. All these different things, we don't get there except through the blood of Jesus. These are the ones that will have children, and children will be born. And I'm going to prove to you this, that they will even go and see Jesus in the New Jerusalem, and they will still reject him. They still will. And I'm going to prove it to you all in this teaching. They reject him. So God allows Satan to be loose for that thousand years to go and deceive them one more time to truly find out who is with him, who really serves the Lord, who really believes in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Isn't that powerful? So Gog and Magog, it's the same place, same terminology, but it's different people. It's a different event. Okay? So don't be thrown off by that, because some of your Bible teachers, they'll put Gog and Magog right there and say, see, it happens right here. And it's not. It's just a terminology. Okay? How do we know that? Because that's when fire comes down. Okay. So why is Satan being loose? Because those born during the thousand-year reign have not received Christ and refused his lordship. Prove it to me, Pastor. Okay, go to Isaiah chapter 2, 1 through 4. Maybe one more after that, and we got to go. This all right? Don't worry, I'm going to go really slow again, and we're going to go over this all together. Isaiah chapter 2, 1 through 4. And the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days, when? The last days. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. Has that happened yet? No. And all nations shall flow into it. Is Russia flowing to it? No. Is China? No. Next verse. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let's go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from where? Jerusalem. This is talking about the New Jerusalem. This is talking about the millennial reign. And he shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people. Well, I thought we were in heaven, he was done rebuking. No, he's going to rebuke. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. When is that? At the end of it all. After that final battle, when God allows Satan to come out. You say, I don't understand. Why didn't he just wrap this thing up? Because he had rules of engagement. He gives every man the choice to be born again. You must come to the Father through faith and through the blood of Jesus. There's two classes of people. The glorified saints and those who live during tribulation, who are now and forever, will be locked in their earth suits. They will always be in their flesh. I see smoke coming out. Because maybe you're taught we're all going to be, looking like the Charmin baby or something. or floating around and playing and all that stuff. There's people, excuse me, that will be saved during, be alive during tribulation time. They'll make it through. Not everybody dies. Never says it anywhere in there. They'll be on the earth. And they will have babies. And God will give them the opportunity to make it right. You better get saved now, don't you think? I don't want to be forever locked in this suit. I think it'll have, and I'm going to show you. I know it's kind of heavy right now. And you're like, oh, I don't know about it. I'm going to show it to you. It's all in Scripture. Those folks are locked in that body for a specific time. They will work, have babies. We won't. Matthew 22:30. Let's look at that, and I'll get out of here. All the women said, whew, praise God, no more babies. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as what? The angels of God in heaven. That's us. So I'm going to leave it at that, but there is so much more to give you. And I hope you've, I know it's a lot to dissect. You'll have to go back and listen to it again. And I will go back and reteach it and show it to you. But heaven, man, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Father God, we love you. Thank you for your amazing love and amazing grace. Just ask that you watch over us the rest of this week and bring us all back here Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, amen.